This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathiran. From Abadu, brothers and sisters, we are in our marriage session, how to make our marriages beautiful, inshallah. And I really feel nice about doing this set of classes on marriage. I've got some very good feedback from people who are listening to this, and I hope it will help you to make your marriages beautiful and very rewarding and worthwhile. And I hope you're enjoying these. By all means, please put in your questions, any questions, any comments into the comments section of this video, and we will definitely try to answer them to the best of our ability. I'm doing now a series of, as you know, from the last few sessions, we were doing a series of questions that I was asked. Somebody asked me 20 questions with regard to marriage after they read my book. And I think it was a nice set of questions, so I'm taking those and answering them. And as I said, if you have any more, by all means, please feel free to ask me. Question number 9 here is, when does one know that a marriage is not working? And when should people do something about it? Now, let me answer the second part of the question first, which is, when should you do something about it? As soon as you know something is not going right. Right? So don't delay. I mean, delaying is, it can only be detrimental. Delaying cannot help. So as soon as you know something is wrong, act upon it, do something about it. But the first part of the question, when does one know that a marriage is not working? Now, let's think about this. A marriage ultimately is an agreement between two people to live together for mutual benefit. I mean, that's the bottom line of it. Call it what you want. But at the end of the day, it is two people who have agreed to live together because they find this is something which is beneficial for both of them, enjoyable for both of them. They find joy in each other's company. They want to live together. They want to be together, and so on. So that is the bottom line of it. Now, when you find that this has changed, somehow this has changed, when there is no mutual benefit, there is no joy in living together, and that living together is causing you more grief than joy, then you know that it's not working. Right? I'm not suggesting that you constantly live with a diagnostic tool in your hand, or live in some sort of suspicion, you know, keep asking this question, is it working, is it happening? That is counterproductive, because unnecessarily then you expect it. You should, I don't find anything wrong. Or maybe there is something wrong. Maybe I should find something wrong. And believe me, you will find something wrong. So don't go there, right? If it is paining, you will know if there is a pain. I mean, do I have a pain? If you're asking the question, do I have a pain? It means you do not have a pain. So leave it alone. But if you do feel that there is some pain, then that's the time to take a look at it. Now, what must you do? I suggest to people, when the people come to me and ask me about this thing, I ask them 3 questions. The first question I ask them is, do you want to make it work? Am I willing to make this marriage work? Ask yourself this question. Am I willing to make this marriage work? Number 2 is, then look at it and say, what is it that I need to do? So which is, what will it take to make it work? And the third question, that's the absolute bottom line, and that is, am I willing to do what it takes to make it work? So 3 questions. Am I willing to make it work? Do I really want this marriage to work? Now, this might look like an oxymoronic question, especially if 2 people, you know, come to you, both the spouses, and they say, we want this marriage to work. But my experience, I'm not being cynical or bitter, but my experience is that many times people go through the motions because somebody told them. people, there's pressure on the family and so on, so from their families or somebody or friends or whatnot, and they say, no, you see, this is a nice marriage, or don't spoil it and make it work and blah, blah. So they want to go through the motions to justify to the others that they made some effort. Now that is totally and completely useless. You know it is false. Your spouse knows it is false. What other people say or don't say makes no difference. So ask yourself sincerely, do I really want to make this marriage work? If the answer is yes, then the second question is a tough one, which is a diagnostic question. That is, what do I need to do to make it work? Now that can be painful, because many times you have to look at yourself and say, I know a case, for example, a marriage actually fell apart, and it was a marriage, it was a love marriage. I mean, it was not an arranged marriage, it was a love marriage, and these two got married, and then the marriage fell apart because one of the spouses was completely and totally addicted to Facebook, and he had his head in his iPad or his computer or his phone, whatever it was, almost 24/7, all waking moments, this guy was in his thing with his virtual friends and whatever else. And eventually the spouse, his wife said, well, there's no sense in this marriage. Why am I even married to this person? Because he's got no time to talk to me and so on. Now, obviously, that was not how it started, because if he was always in his iPad, then he would never have seen her in the first place. But something went wrong, whatever it was. Another case, I know a case where again, it was a husband who was so addicted to his friends, and this is a real friend, not virtual friend, the real friend, their hangout places, their clubs or whatnot, and he would hardly spend time at home. So he's gone to work, he's in the office, and after that he almost hardly ever spent time at home. All weekends, free time, he's with his friends, he's doing whatever he's doing, gone here, gone there, no time for the wife. And so the marriage falls apart. Now, the point I'm making here is that no matter what is your personal issue, it is likely to be something painful. It is likely to be something that you don't like to look at. But if you don't want to look at it, then forget about the marriage. It will not happen. So you need to be able to look at your issues and to be able to face them. And the same thing for the wife. Which is issues where, in one case I know, this lady was, she was a shopaholic, and she would buy and buy and buy. And the husband said, look, I mean, this is an educated woman. She knows how much money I earn. She knows that this is the only source of income we have, and she's blowing it all on shopping. Now, what do we do? Which is a legitimate question. So the point I'm saying is that it is something which you might find difficult to accept, difficult to stomach, but you have to stomach it, you have to accept it, and you have to do something about it. So, are you interested in this relationship? Am I willing to make it work? Number two, what does it take to make it work? And number three is, am I willing to do what it takes? Now, if the answer to all of these is yes, we are interested, yes, we looked at, or we are seeking help to look at what is wrong, and then yes, no matter how painful that is, we want to get over it, we want to make the marriage work, we want to do what it takes to make it work, then all power to you, inshallah, you will be fine and your marriage will work. I have seen some marriages going through some very difficult times, where it looked like complete chaos, right? I know a case where a very good friend of mine, he and his wife came and said, we want to make you, that's my wife and myself, the guardians of our children. So I said, well, for what? I mean, you are there. Why would we want to be guardians? And these were not even Muslim people. He said, why would you want to be me to, or our friends to, or me and my wife to be guardians of your children? They said, no, I think we are finished. We are finished with marriage. We are finished with life. I mean, they were actually contemplating suicide. Now that's a long story, and nothing happened. Alhamdulillah, they are fine. Their children are now married, and the children have children. But the point I'm making is that even from there, even from such a dark place, you can still come out shining and and bright-eyed, provided you are willing to do what it takes. If that is not the case, then I always say, stop being a pain in the backside for the other person and call it a day, right? Don't waste your time, don't waste their time, don't make it painful for everybody. But the important thing is that even if you want to divorce, even if you want this relationship to end, remember three very important rules as far as Islam is concerned. Number one, truthfulness. Number two, concern for the other. And number three, mutual respect. Now this is another place where many things go wrong. And I've seen people who make false allegations and all sorts of things because both parties are trying to justify, especially if there are families involved, especially in arranged marriages, especially when both sides' families are involved. The spouses simply don't want to take the responsibility. So they say, oh, no, but you know, she was doing this, or he was doing that. And some cases I've seen, it's complete falsehood. It is total fabrication. Believe me, you will answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. You are playing with fire, quite literally. So don't do that. Do not do that. Have the backbone to stand up to whoever is talking to you and say, sorry, this is our matter, we are dealing with it, I do not have to give you reasons, whoever you are, even if you are my parents, I do not have to justify to you why my marriage is not working, I do not have to give reasons to you, I'm not going to give reasons to you, right? I don't need your support. If you want to support me because I am your child. That's it, period. You don't need any other reason for that. So don't ask me about your husband and about your wife. No, sorry, I will not talk about her. I will not talk about him. This is between us. We had a good relationship. There was a reason why we got married. But alhamdulillah, whatever has happened, has happened. Now we are going to part company. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Hajar and Jameela, Allah said, separate decently, separate in a beautiful manner. So stick to the truth. Don't fabricate lies. Don't fabricate slander about each other, number one. Number two, have concern for the other. Okay, so now this marriage is breaking up. It's an emotional thing. The only thing worse than a divorce is bereavement. If the spouse actually dies. It's not a simple matter of, you know, you're not resigning from your club. This is something which is very serious. So treat the other person with gentleness, with kindness. Give more. As I'm talking to the man, give more. Don't take back anything. Don't say, no, but you know, I gave you this present and give it nothing. Take back nothing. Give more. Give her what she is entitled to and give more. And inshallah, Allah will replace that and will replace that with better. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who gives up something for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace it with something better. So do that. Right? And even the Quran says this. The Quran says, even if it is a qintar of gold, don't take it back. So very, very clearly, do not take it back. Even where it is a khula, if the wife wants a khula, if she wants separation, give it. I've seen many cases where husbands hang on and they say, no, I will not give a divorce. Now, she can still walk away because she can get the qazi, or the judge to annul the marriage, even if you are not willing to give a divorce. But in some places, and in the Hanafi Madhab, and also in some countries, the Qadi will not do that. And believe me, if the Qadi is not doing that, then the Qadi is being unjust. It is not permissible in Islam to stick to one Madhab when there is a solution in some other Madhab. We are followers of Islam. We are not followers of any Madhab just like that. We must follow madhab. I'm not saying do not follow a madhab. I'm not saying be a ghair muqallid. No, but being ghair muqallid is stupid because we do not have the capacity to do ijtihad on our own, and therefore taqlid of one of the four imams is a safety net. Follow whichever imam you want. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, you will be safe. But if the qazi insists that only this one and in this particular, whichever imam you are following, if that is something where there is no solution, but there is a solution with The other Imam, if there is no solution with Imam Shafi'i, but Imam Abu Hanifa has a solution, then the Qazi and the judge should take that solution and help you to resolve the matter in a good manner. If he's not doing that, he's being unjust. So the wife can take. Now, in terms of the khula, if she is taking a khula, then you have the right as the husband to strike a deal, right? And say, okay, this is what I spent, and give back half of it or whatever. My advice is, even there, don't take anything back. Right? Be a man. Be somebody with dignity and nobility. She is a woman. She gave her life to you. Now you don't want it, or she doesn't want it, or both of you don't want it. She wants to go home. Fine. Alhamdulillah, make it good for her. Do not take anything back. Give everything to her and say, Alhamdulillah, take this. Be happy. Make dua for me. Inshallah, I make dua for you. Khalas. Right? Act. Take the higher road. Take the upper road. Be noble. Be kind. Be generous. And know that your Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu will treat you in the same way. And if you don't do that, then your Rabb also has the right, and he has the power to treat you in that way and worse, to teach you a lesson. So don't open the door for that for yourself. So truthfulness, concern for the other person, and mutual respect. Never say one single word, critical word, about your husband or your wife outside of your marriage. As I told you, not even to parents. So forget about talking to your friends and this and that, and bad talking them all over the place. That is a very, very nasty thing to do. Please do not do that. And ensure that you do not do anything that is not completely and totally honest and completely above board. Show concern that the other person must not leave with a bad feeling. Right? The marriage with you didn't work. That doesn't mean the other person is evil. So make sure that you do it in such a way that person still respects you and still has something good to say about you. The divorce is bad enough. Now don't add negative baggage to that, and show respect for each other. That's very, very important. You deserve it and your marriage deserves it. Part company if you have to, but do it in a way that is respectful and honorable. Right? I hope I'm making this clear. Please be very certain and sure that if it comes to a divorce, that you do it in this way, which is clean. Now, what are the core responsibilities of the spouses, and are they different for the man and the woman? This is the next question. Now, as I said, in my view, the core responsibility of the man, and it's not just my view, this is in Islam, the core responsibility of the man is to work and earn a living and take care of the financial responsibilities for the family. And in Islam, this remains the core responsibility of the man, even if the woman has her own independent income or even if she has an inheritance. Her inheritance belongs to her, her income belongs to her. The man has no say in that whatsoever. So you as the husband have no control over your wife's finances. Islamically speaking, it is better for you to have two separate bank accounts. It is better for you to have two separate, it is better for you not to join your income or join your assets. There are two reasons for it. First of all, this is the right that Islam gives to the woman. She does not have to disclose her income, disclose her inheritance, or show what she has to the husband, much less to anybody else. Right? Her jewelry is her own. She does not have to give her jewelry into the custody of your mother, to her mother-in-law. She doesn't have to put her jewelry in the mother-in-law's locker. And my advice to the young ladies, or to the old ladies, whoever you're getting married, right? Don't go overboard. Right at the beginning, no, my mother, you are like my mother, and this is my jewelry, and I'm giving it to you. And then when something goes bad, then you will blame the woman for that. So don't. Stay within your boundaries, right? Don't do all of this rubbish. Make sure that it is your money, it is your jewelry, it is your property, whatever you inherited, whatever your parents gave you, whatever whoever gave you, it belongs to you. Your husband, your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, your grandfather-in-law, nobody has any right in that. They don't even have the right to know what it is. Don't exceed the boundaries. Don't say, no, I want you to know. No, 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 please. Right? Write it and keep it in your locker. If you want to keep a record of it, there's no need to disclose it, number one. Number two, if you disclose it, then be prepared for them to ask you questions. Because they will. This is human nature. This is human nature. So if you disclose it, and then they will say, no, well, what happened to that? Then you get offended. Oh, no, this is my income. Why are you asking questions? We are asking questions because you opened that door. So don't go anywhere near that. Islam gives this. This is a unique response. This unique thing as far as Islam is concerned. It is not there in other religions where a woman has complete and total control over her financial assets. For the man, and the woman doesn't need to share that with anybody. If she is sharing it, by all means, I'm not stopping you from sharing it. Be charitable, be generous, share it with your family, share it with anyone. But remember, you are doing that because you want to do that. You are doing an ihsan on others, and others should be grateful to you for that. Right? It's not your duty. If a woman who is wealthy does not contribute 10 cents to the common family expense, she is within her right to do that. There's no criticism on her. For the man, on the other hand, if you are married, then you are the head of the household. You are responsible for the household. The household must obey you in every legal thing. And the household must not disobey you and do something which you don't like, as long as what you are asking them to do is legal, Islamically, and legal the law of the land, right? So understand this. We are not saying here, if you say, well, you know, I'm going to sit here and you are going to come and give me a massage every day and polish my boots and, you know, give me a cup of tea while kneeling down in front of me, if all of this, nobody is liable to obey any of that, right? So we are not, I'm not here advocating toxic masculinity, and oppression of the people. We're just saying here that you are, it's like saying that you are the driver of the bus, right? The rest of the people are in the bus. So who's responsible for this bus? The driver. Who's responsible if somebody wants to get off the bus and get on the bus? The driver. The driver has to open the door. If the driver doesn't open the door, you can't get off the bus. Who must drive the bus safely? The driver. Who must take care and check to see if this bus has enough gas and so on and so forth? You can't say, well, you know what, you are passengers, you should be interested. No, no, no. They are interested, but they have, the responsibility has been given to you. And therefore, it is your responsibility. So the man is responsible for earning. The man is responsible for bringing food, putting food on the table. And for this, the woman has no financial responsibility to do any of that. The core responsibility of the woman, on the other hand, is to make the home a place of beauty, a place of grace, a place of harmony, and to focus on the raising of the children. If they are children, then it's her responsibility to ensure that they are raised as good human beings and as good Muslims. Now, this may sound old-fashioned, but take a look at what the result of the yuppie puppy culture is, and you will come back to the basics soon enough. And that is something which Islam also advocates and this is what Islamic, that's the Islamic duty. The husband is responsible for the, to put it in other words, the husband is responsible for what's outside the house, the woman is responsible for what's inside the house. Now, question they ask is a woman permitted to work? Of course she is permitted to work, but not at the expense of her core responsibility. It's just like saying, is the man permitted not to work? Yes, of course he's permitted not to work, provided there is a way of taking care of the financial responsibility. If the man says, well, no, I just want to take off for 5 years, right? it's I feel somehow this is important for my development. Very nice. Make arrangements for 5 years of financial, taking care of the financial responsibility for your family, and you can go. It's not just financial, because five years, what about taking care of the family? What about the company of the wife and so on and so forth? How are you going to manage for 5 years? So same thing applies to the woman. If she is saying, no, I will take, if I have children, I take the child to the daycare center, dump the child in the daycare center, and then I'm gone to work. No, sorry, doesn't work. In Islam, this is not permissible. It is not permissible. And if the answer is no, but you see, unless both of us work, we cannot make ends meet. No, reduce the ends. You cannot make ends meet because you have expanded your expenses like that. Now you are stuck. You become stuck where unless both people work, you can't pay your bills. Reduce your bills. The children deserve the full-time attention of at least one parent, and the part-time company and attention of both parents. So the father must be involved in the raising of the children once he is back home. So when he is back home, he must not sit in front of the television and vegetate, and he is not going to just drop in at home, have a cup of tea and push off to be with his friends or play golf or whatever. No. Spend time with the children. And the mother must give them her full attention, full time. Yes, it is burdensome. You should have thought about that before you had children. But if you have children, that is your responsibility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And believe me, that is what is good for your future. If you do not do that, then you are creating enormous problems for yourself in the future. So don't do that. Right? Make very sure that you take care. Now, having taken care of the core responsibility, which is financial responsibility, the husband must also help around the house, take care of the children, water the garbage, wash the car, mow the lawn, take out the garbage, right? And walk the dog, whatever. Not just sit in front of the television with his feet propped up and a bowl of popcorn at his elbow, or whatever the equivalent of that is in your culture. This is not acceptable behavior. Similarly, once the mother has taken care of her core responsibility, that is raising of children, and then it is good if she waters the garden and washes the car and mows the lawn and takes out the garbage and does not sit in front of the TV propped up and with a bowl of popcorn at her elbow or whatever is the equivalent in your culture. This is, I'm sure you understand what I mean, right? Now, can she still work? Of course she can work. Nowadays it's even better because she can work from home. But as I said, not at the expense of the core responsibility, which is the raising of children. If you do not have children and so on, then you can both can work. But remember, one of the things I've seen also, when you don't have children and both people are working and they are involved in their careers and so on, usually the marriage, they just drift apart and the marriage goes for a six. So even if there are no children to be raised, remember, you both spouses need to spend time together. You need to have conversation. You need to talk to one another. You need to be in each other's company, not as a chore and say, oh my God, now I got to go out with her, now I got to go out with him. No. As something that you enjoy in preference to your time with your other friends and so on and so forth, and your associates. So that is a very important thing, right? The dividing responsibilities in the home is a very good idea. Role clarity is essential in a happy marriage, and role conflict causes the maximum stress in it. It's essential for one of the spouses to be dedicated to the raising of the children. As I said, the mother, this is her responsibility, but sometimes you might have a situation where the woman is more qualified to work and she can get more money, better paid, and she can have a better job and the husband can take care of the family. There's no problem with that. Inshallah, in Islam there is no hassle with that. But again, remember, for the men, now don't get into an ego hassle about, oh, my wife has got this high-flying job and I'm washing the dishes. No, there is dignity in work, and alhamdulillah, if you are washing dishes, this is good for you. If you're cooking food, good for you. If you're taking care of children, alhamdulillah, very good for you. And if she's got a high paying job, very nice, both of you are enjoying that, no problem. But remember, the responsibility is yours. So even though she is earning and bringing money home, financial responsibility still remains yours. And since you are not fulfilling that, the least that you can do is to be grateful to her, to treat her with dignity, ensure that she is comfortable and so on and so forth, right? I know this is a bit of a rarity in most cases. In most cases, we have the husband who works and the wife who is at home. And in more and more cases now, we have situations where both of them work. And as I told you, if both of you are working and if children are suffering as a result of that, you will be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And before that, you will suffer the consequences of that in this life. So do not do that to yourself. Right? Please understand this, that raising children, and we will, I'm going to do a whole series on that separately, but just now, raising children doesn't mean feeding them and clothing them and making sure they are dry and they have a bed. Teaching them life skills, manners, more than anything else, manners, good akhlaq, tools of thinking, decision making, teaching them the core values of life, especially Islamic values, all of this is critical to the raising of children. It's not enough to give them gadgets, the latest gadgets, latest game boards and whatnot. Not enough. It's even detrimental. Get them de-addicted from screens. I'm sick and tired of talking about this. De-addicted from screens, get out of Facebook, get them out of Facebook, get them out of social media, let them not even get into social media until they are, you know, well into their teens and 20s, maybe 20s even, until they understand the dangers of what they are dealing with. It's like giving a small child a sharp knife. Whose responsibility is it? If there's a little toddler, 2-year-old, 3-year-old who comes and says, I want a sharp knife, will you give it to him? You will not give it to him because you know he does not have the understanding of what a knife can do. Next thing you know, he's cut his own throat or something, or he cuts yours. You will not do that because you know the danger of it. How do you give him something which is far more dangerous, which is social media? Far, far more dangerous. Now you give that because you are lazy. You just want to get out of the responsibility of raising children, and you want the iPad to do that for you, or you want your smartphone to do that for you. The phone is smart, you are not. You know, smartphones with stupid people. This is the biggest problem of our society today. And that's why we got social media, which is completely playing havoc with the minds of children, and producing and creating children who are toxic and who are a problem to the world. And you are the reason for that. Please do not fall into that trap, right? Food, a dry bed and toys is what your dog needs, not your son or daughter. Don't treat your child like your dog. They are mammals, but that's it, right? Their dog is not going to inherit you from you. So please make sure that your children are treated responsibly, and you are responsible for that. We'll continue with this inshallah in our next session. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.